Hello everyone, welcome to the Microsoft Virtual Academy series, ITIL for IT Professionals. Today we'll be talking about service request fulfillment. My name is Nathan Lesnowski, I'm the Architect and Director of Infrastructure Concurrency, and I'm going to be walking through service request fulfillment in a more ITIL-centric way, but tied to IT professionals and what they're trying to accomplish in their daily life. So what is service request fulfillment all about? Service request fulfillment is about receiving requests for new or modified services. It's about setting expectations tied to those requests and not allowing them to be understood in the same way that you're understanding fixing things that are broken. So in incident management, we talked about how you spend a lot of time fixing things that are broken. That's oftentimes the way people think about IT. But the problem is that sometimes the expectations that are tied to fixing things that are broken flow over into new things or modified things. So sometimes the lack of planning that goes into a service request allows for that person to have unrealistic expectations and then for the service desk to try to meet those unrealistic expectations. And ultimately, because expectations were never really defined for people, they didn't know when they had to ask for something. And they also then didn't know what to expect back. So they say, I need it now because I need to move my office from point A to point B, or I need a new laptop, or I need a new user created. And if they only knew that they would have had to create it 7 days ahead of time, they wouldn't have this burning need. I'll give you an example. Like my wife and I really like going to restaurants. And there's a couple restaurants that we really want to go to, but they're so popular that you need to get reservations, say, a month in advance. And I once tried to go and get reservations for that company, or for that restaurant, and I really wasn't able to get them in time for the time we wanted to go there because I didn't try to get the restaurant reservation soon enough. And I called them up and I said, you know, please, 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 can you get us in? And they weren't really able to get us in because there's a lot of other people who appropriately asked for that reservation far before I did. And I was frustrated about it, but once I knew what kind of expectations I needed to act under, I was able to set up a new reservation that was tied to those expectations. And I got a restaurant reservation, and then we got to go to the restaurant, and we knew we had it on the date that we wanted. And I would have been pretty frustrated if all of a sudden somebody bumped me out, or somebody had was sitting at the seat that I was going to sit at because they tried to squeeze them in. So setting service expectations allow for people to know when they should ask for something in order to allow for us to fulfill that request. One of the things that we're trying to do in IT is deliver in an excellent way for our customers. When we try to squeeze too many things in to a certain space, we're no longer delivering in an excellent way. We're just trying to get by. So service request fulfillment is setting those expectations with our customers so that way they know when they need to request them. And also, when we know when they need to request them, or maybe even if they're requesting a lot of them, we know when we need to add more staff or we need to adjust the way that we're actually acting. So for example, maybe a certain type of process could be automated. We don't need to do it manually anymore, like a password reset, for example. Maybe that's sort of on the incident side, right? Or something like a new workstation request. Maybe I have the opportunity to be able to automate these activities. So rather than having to have a person who goes and resets passwords in incident management, who goes and orders workstations and workstation requests, maybe I can automate those two processes. Or application installation. Maybe you have people running around installing applications every day. What if I were to give a person the ability to install those applications themselves through a self-service portal, either through on their desktop or through a centralized self-service portal? Would that be helpful? Service request fulfillment allows for us to do those types of things. So when we're thinking about this, think about this both in terms of setting expectations and in terms of allowing you to deliver services to your customers in the best possible way. So service request fulfillment is interesting because a little different than incident management, things happen on a reoccurring basis and they're oftentimes very similar to each other. Incidents oftentimes are somewhat unique. Things are unique to an individual workstation or individual user. Whereas a service request, when I do a new user request, I kind of need the same information every time. Or if I do a new SharePoint site request, or I do a new workstation order, I need the same kind of information every time. I need to know the name of the SharePoint site. I need to know the template they want to use and what groups they need to have access to it. So when I look at service request management, I'm capturing this reoccurring information. If you're capturing information over the phone or through an email, your accuracy is very low. It takes you a lot longer to be able to serve your customers, and you really can't automate against it. When we're looking at service request management, we want to do that better. We want to try to take information through a standardized information gathering pattern. The best place to get it is through something like a self-service portal. People have gotten really accustomed to ordering things online. They're used to the idea of going out to an online ordering site and buying shoes, or ordering a workstation, or purchasing a pack of diapers for their kids, right? They understand those kinds of things. So we can arm them with that same experience. So rather than having to have them call up and fill out this form, or interact with the service desk person and have the service desk person fill out the form as they're talking to them, we can have them go to the ordering site. Kind of the same way people used to be accustomed to calling up for concert tickets or calling up for an airplane reservation, right? That, okay, I need to go to Orlando. Maybe I need to call up this airplane vendor and I need to ask them for a seat, right? Like people are kind of accustomed to doing that once upon a time. Now we just go out to an airline site and we book our reservation, right? And it even looks for the best price for us. So in our case, we want to enable that same kind of thing. We enable a consumer orientation to it. You'll notice that each of those sites are setting customer expectations, and they start to kind of understand what those expectations are. We want to do the same thing in service request management. You can see how this is different than incident management, because each of these have their own unique life cycle. A new computer request probably has a different time frame to fulfill than a new user request or a new SharePoint site. And they may maybe even have to go through different approvals. So when we're capturing this unique information, it allows for us to be much more direct in the way that we're giving expectations. It also allows for us to be able to assign directly. It's also a huge opportunity in ROI. So when you're thinking about service request management, you think about what are the top five things that if I were to automate them would save me time and money. Do that exercise internally for yourselves and determine what those five things might be. I find that this is a huge area for developing ROI. So what are some examples of service requests? We gave a couple examples already. New user accounts, office moves from one point to another. That includes a lot of different people, a new SharePoint site, or workstation order. It could be anything. Think about the things that are important to your business. All right, so what tools do we use to to execute on these? Well, there's a couple places they could actually come from. Well, Service Manager really is the place where a work item lives ultimately, the service request itself. Operations Manager can create alerts around service outages that can create service requests. But also inside of this space, something else we should consider is that service requests could come through SharePoint. They could also come through Windows Azure Pack. So there's a couple different places they could live there. Windows Azure Pack provides us a great opportunity for, as a service management organization, especially if you're a service provider, to define things that you're delivering to your customers. And Azure Pack also ties into SMA. So we might be using that extensively if we're a service provider. For serving end users, we might be focused more on something like Service Manager to be able to serve our end users, and Orchestrator as a part of that. So the tool sets we're considering are really, we're getting those requests from somewhere in a structured way. How do we do that well? All right, so we're inside of System Center Service Manager talking about service request management, and we're inside of the all open service requests area. You can see that I have a couple different requests in here. I have some that are in progress, some that were submitted. They have varieties of different types, right? I have a highly available virtual machine request, I have a new phone request, I have a new computer request, release deployment, data center patching that was queued up, lots of different things that were submitted. So if we were to look at an example of the service request, let's take a look at a highly available virtual machine request. This came in with a user, it came in with a highly available title, it has varieties of different things that we could set. So I have urgencies, I have priorities that are set, I have areas, support groups, and so on. But even more important than that kind of information is the specific user input tied to that specific kind of request. So when I look at a highly available virtual machine request, I'm asking for who's the business sponsor, Tom Mullen? Who is the, what's the name of the virtual machine? How many virtual processors are required? How much memory is required? How big is the hard drive space? Where is it going to live? It's going to live in Azure, right? So this information is defined based upon questions that I'm asking my user. This allows me to set my customer expectations. So where is it coming from and how am I acting on it? Well, the first thing I'm doing is I'm taking that information from my self-service portal. So there's a couple different examples of self-service portals I could give you. So one example would be the Out-of-Box SharePoint self-service portal. So you can see in my self-service portal, I've organized things based upon the kind of things that people might want to ask of me. It's also where people can go to open up an incident. So I look at my service request areas. I can see my account, office, facilities management. I can see my applications, computers, devices, and printers, and workstation, servers, and networking. These are kind of serving different communities, right? These are people who are in facilities or account management, like HR functions. This is kind of your general IT user, so he's asking for help, or maybe he's got a problem with his computer, or he wants an application, or he's in enterprise IT and he's trying to serve specific uses, right? So if I were to say, all right, I want to go and do a particular type of request, like if I go into account management, I might be interested in serving a new user request. So I'll say new user request. On my form. And this will then allow me to enter in certain information. So for example, this is kind of a basic request. I'll say I want to open up a request for Madeline Tester. And then I'm going to give them a drop-down box of infrastructure. And maybe I'm going to tie that to a template. Now, I could use an existing user or an actual template user. So I can have right here Zoe Testing, who's going to actually copy that user. Now, a better process would probably be to have templates like accounting user or infrastructure user and so on. So tied to this, I'm going to go and kick that off. And then it gives me a form that says, okay, here's what you want to submit. And go ahead and submit it. Now, when I submit that, I can either accomplish that manually. So I can look at my requests, like a new user request here. Here's one that I had already opened. That was for Zoe Tester. And the department is infrastructure. Her favorite drink is juice. She has a middle initial R. This is when the user is starting. So this information can be used to manually accomplish that service request. Now, I'm already way out of the game, right? If someone was trying to email me saying that I wanted to submit a new user request, they're probably going to send me a portion of the information I needed. And then I'd have to go and say, well, I mean, what department is this person going to be in? You know, what's their start date, all that stuff. I'm going to have to kind of talk with them about it. Whereas if I'm asking them the information I need right away, it allows for me to be much more successful at interacting with them. So this helps me to be much more structured and to act in a way which allows me to be able to help them more quickly. Now, I can also take that information from my new user request from Madeline Tester and so on, and I can use Orchestrator or SMA to be able to go and automate against that request. So for example, a lot of times I'm deploying this particular service request and then building an automation that allows for me to create the user automatically, create the Exchange account, the link account in Office 365 to enable the home directory, spin up the workstation request, to spin up an office location for them, to do all these things in automated fashion behind the scenes. I don't need to have a person doing that anymore. I can use automation to do it, and I can allow that person to spend more time automating and less time doing manual tasks. That's a huge aspect of bringing ROI into the picture. Because if I do, say, 200 of these a year, there's a cost of that saving very practically that I can show for every single request I've saved a certain amount of time. Now, I can also take these requests straight up from SharePoint. So if I were to look at this other SharePoint site, I've organized a self-service application catalog in SharePoint where a guy can come out here and say, okay, new item. I would like to install Project 2013 on all my compatible devices, and I have some specific instructions on testing, and I'm opening up the new request. So I'll just save that request, and that also then can open up an actual request inside of the toolset using interaction with Orchestrator or SMA to be able to open that up inside of Service Manager and then go and automate on that request. So I can take requests from a variety of sources. Where it's coming from is less important. The fact that it's structured is important. That structured data that allows me to set expectations based upon the different types of requests. So when I look at that highly available virtual machine request, I can set service level agreements tied to it that allows for me on each individual request to set expectations for my customers and allow me to serve them in an effective way. So when I look at service request management, what I would suggest is make a list of the top five things that will allow for you to make your service better. It's going to sit in things like account management or facilities management. So if I go in my facilities area here, and I say office move, I'll select a user, may want to move myself. I'm going to move to the Chicago office, and my new office ID is 37. That's the office I'm in now. And that could kick off a whole back-end process that inside the context of the service request contains those work processes. So inside the service request, I contain the activities like a review activity to approve that particular request, or the actual move itself, or the request itself. And then I can participate in that request through the context of the service manager environment. So for example, if I go to my requests, I can see the things that I've asked for that I'm asking to have completed. So I can say, for example, I have some incidents out there, also have some service requests out there, like a new computer request. And I can see that new computer request has activities, a review activity, a manual activity for completing the workstation order and shipment, and a manual activity for completing the workstation deployment. Very practical process of a new computer request. Parts of it might be manual, parts of it might be automated, but I'm setting my customer expectations because I'm defining what are the processes it has to flow through and where is it at in that process. It's the same way when you order shoes off of an online ordering site, and you see that, okay, it's now been gotten through the procurement process, and now it's been shipped. Now it's in Chicago because it's close to my house, and now it's one day away, and then finally the shoes show up on my desktop, right? I'm sort of able to follow it through. Why is this important? Well, it's important because if I give them this information, I might reduce one service desk call. Now, what if I have 10,000 people in my company? I reduce the service desk calls one per year, one for every individual in the company. I've reduced a lot of work that I wouldn't have had to do. I've made my customer more happy because the reason they're calling the service desk is because they want to know what's going on with their work item. So if I can reduce that by giving them the ability to check that themselves, then I've done a better job of serving them, and they're ultimately going to be happier with the service I've given them. So you can see a lot of this is about automation and taking the right information, but it still goes back to the idea of setting good customer expectations and then fulfilling against those expectations. All right, so now that we've shown an example of service request management, what can we do next? Well, first thing we can do is start thinking about what are those top five service requests. How can I save specific time inside of my organization and bring an ROI? Also, am I working towards automating those requests once I've captured that right information? Also, do I set expectations on my service requests? You start thinking about these things in a really practical way. A lot of people talk about ITIL practices, but when they actually go to implement them, they try to stay kind of in the sort of book space. We want to really get practical about it by asking some of these questions. And if we start really focusing on what are my top five service requests, we're focused on the right things because we're focused on ROI. We're focused on how can this save me time in my organization so my people can spend their time on the right things instead of the wrong things. All right, next time, we'll dig into problem management. We'll talk about how problem management helps us to fix root causes. Instead of dealing with that same symptom over and over, we actually are going to deal with fixing the symptom by fixing what's causing it.